Welcome to Exam Ready, the podcast that gets you exam confident, one topic at a time. I'm your tutor for today, and in this episode, we're diving deep into food marketing and advertising for your OCR GCSE food preparation and nutrition exam. Whether you've got a mock coming up or you're revising for the real thing, this episode is going to give you everything you need to smash those marks. We'll cover the core concepts, the exam technique, the common mistakes that cost students marks every single year, and we'll finish with a quick-fire recall quiz so you can test yourself. Let's get into it. So, why does food marketing matter for your exam? Here's the thing. Food manufacturers spend billions of pounds every year trying to influence what we buy and eat. And the OCR exam board wants you to understand exactly how they do it, why it works, and what the ethical implications are. This topic sits right at the intersection of psychology, nutrition, and business. And examiners absolutely love it because it rewards students who can think critically, not just recall facts. Let's start with the big picture. Food marketing refers to all the strategies manufacturers and retailers use to promote food products and influence consumer behavior. These strategies can be divided into two broad categories: above-the-line marketing, which includes mass media like TV adverts and social media campaigns, and below-the-line marketing, which is more targeted. Think loyalty cards, in-store promotions, and direct mail. For your exam, you need to know specific techniques in detail, not just vague generalizations. The first technique you must know is BOGOF, buy one, get one free. This is a price promotion strategy. The psychological mechanism here is perceived value. The consumer believes they are getting more for their money, which triggers a purchase even if they didn't originally intend to buy that product. Examiners want you to use the phrase perceived value rather than just saying it makes people buy more. That's the difference between a level 1 and a level 3 response. Next up, celebrity endorsement. This is when a well-known person, an athlete, a pop star, a TV personality, is paid to promote a food product. The psychological mechanism is aspiration and social proof. Consumers, particularly younger demographics, aspire to be like the celebrity, and they associate the product with that person's lifestyle, health, or success. A great example is sports drinks being endorsed by elite athletes. The implication is that consuming the drink will improve your performance, even if the nutritional reality is that many sports drinks are high in sugar and unnecessary for the average person. In exam answers, always link the technique to the target demographic and the psychological mechanism. Product placement is another key technique. This is when food products appear in TV shows, films, or online content, not as adverts, but as props or background items. The key point here is that it bypasses our critical thinking. We don't consciously register it as advertising, so we don't put our guard up. This is particularly powerful for children who may not yet have the media literacy to recognize it as a marketing technique. The Advertising Standards Authority, or ASA, regulates overt advertising, but product placement operates in a gray area that is harder to police. Loyalty schemes, like Nectar Points at Sainsbury's or Club Card at Tesco, work through the psychological principle of reward and habit formation. Customers accumulate points with every purchase, which creates a sense of investment in that particular retailer. The data collected through loyalty schemes also allows retailers to send personalized offers, further increasing the likelihood of repeat purchases. For your exam, the key term here is brand loyalty, the tendency of consumers to repeatedly purchase from the same brand or retailer. Now let's talk about pester power, and this one is really important for higher tariff questions about ethics. Pester power refers to the marketing strategy of targeting children with advertising, knowing that children will then pressure their parents into buying the product. Manufacturers use bright colors, cartoon characters, free toys inside packaging, and child-friendly flavors to appeal directly to children. The ethical issue is clear. Children are a vulnerable group who cannot fully evaluate marketing claims, and many products targeted at children, breakfast cereals, confectionery, fizzy drinks, have nutritional profiles that are high in sugar, fat, or salt, which conflicts directly with the Eat Well Guide recommendations. In a high tariff discuss or evaluate question, you must address both the commercial benefit to the manufacturer and the health impact on the consumer. Now let's move on to packaging and labeling. This is where a lot of students lose marks because they confuse statutory requirements with voluntary marketing claims. Let me be really clear about this distinction. Statutory labeling is legally required by law. This includes the product name, the list of ingredients in descending order of weight, allergen information, which must be highlighted in bold, the net quantity or weight, the best before or used by date, storage instructions, the name and address of the manufacturer, and the country of origin for certain foods. These are not optional. Every food product sold in the UK must include them. Voluntary labeling, on the other hand, is chosen by the manufacturer as a marketing tool. This includes health claims like high in fiber, low fat, a source of vitamin C, and the traffic light system. Now, and this is critical, even though these claims are voluntary, they are still regulated. The Food Standards Agency and EU-derived regulations in the UK set strict legal definitions for terms like low fat and reduced fat. Here's where many candidates make a very costly mistake. Low fat has a legal absolute definition. A product can only be labeled low fat if it contains no more than 3 grams of fat per 100 grams for solid foods. Reduced fat, on the other hand, is a relative claim. It simply means the product contains at least 30% less fat than the standard version of that product. So a reduced fat crisp could still contain 20 grams of fat per 100 grams and be perfectly legal to label as reduced fat. Examiners specifically test this distinction, so make sure you can explain both definitions clearly. The traffic light system is a voluntary front-of-pack labeling scheme used by many major UK supermarkets and manufacturers. It uses red, amber, and green color coding to indicate whether a product is high, medium, or low in fat, saturated fat, sugars, and salt. The values are expressed both as amounts per 100 grams and as a percentage of the reference intake, or RI, for an average adult. The reference intake for energy is 2,000 kilocalories per day. The traffic light system is designed to help consumers make quick, informed choices, but critics argue that manufacturers can manipulate it by choosing small portion sizes to make the percentages look lower than they really are. The Eat Well Guide is the UK government's visual representation of a healthy, balanced diet. It shows the proportions of different food groups that should make up our diet. When you're evaluating marketing claims in an exam question, always ask, does this product's nutritional profile align with the Eat Well Guide? If a product is high in free sugars, saturated fat, or salt, and it is being marketed with health claims or targeted at vulnerable groups like children or elderly people, that is an ethical concern worth discussing. Right, let's talk exam technique, because this is where marks are won and lost. First, command words. When you see describe, you need to give 2 developed features with supporting information. When you see explain, you need to give a reason and then explain the mechanism, the how, and why. When you see discuss or evaluate, you must present arguments on both sides and reach a clear, concluding judgment. Examiners cannot award marks in the top band of a discuss question if there is no conclusion. Second, time management. The rule of thumb is 1 minute per mark. So a 4-mark question gets 4 minutes, an 8-mark question gets 8 minutes, and a 10-mark question gets 10 minutes. For longer questions, spend 1 minute planning before you write. Jot down 3 or 4 key points, decide on your structure, and then write. Third, use specific terminology. Examiners reward precision. Instead of saying it makes people want to buy it, say it exploits brand loyalty and perceived value to drive repeat purchasing behavior. Instead of the label shows what's in it, say the statutory nutritional declaration lists the energy, fat, saturated fat, carbohydrate, sugars, protein, and salt content per 100 grams, as required by UK food labeling regulations. Fourth, for packaging questions, always reference both the traffic light system and reference intakes to support your analysis, and always distinguish between what is legally required and what is a voluntary marketing choice. Fifth, the most common mistake, and I see this every year, is describing the sensory qualities of the food itself rather than the persuasive features of the packaging. If a question asks you to analyze the packaging, do not write about how the food tastes or smells. Write about the colors, the font, the imagery, the claims, the placement of information, and the psychological effect on the consumer. Now, quickfire recall quiz, I'll ask 5 questions. Pause the podcast, think of your answer, then press play to hear the response. Question 1, what does BOGOF stand for? And what psychological mechanism does it exploit? Buy one, get one free. It exploits perceived value, making consumers feel they are getting more for their money. Question 2. What is the legal definition of low fat for solid foods in the UK? No more than 3 grams of fat per 100 grams. Question 3. What is the difference between best before and use by dates? Best before is a quality indicator. The food may be safe to eat after this date, but quality may decline. Use by is a safety limit. Food must not be consumed after this date as it may be unsafe. Question 4. Name 3 pieces of statutory information that must appear on all food packaging. Any three from product name, ingredients list, allergen information, net quantity, best before or used by date, storage instructions, manufacturer's name and address, country of origin. Question 5. What is pester power and why is it considered ethically problematic? Pester power is the strategy of targeting children with advertising so they pressure parents to buy products. It is ethically problematic because children are a vulnerable group who cannot fully evaluate marketing claims, and many products targeted at children have nutritional profiles that conflict with the Eat Well Guide. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and reread those sections. Let's wrap up. The key things to take away from today are: know your 6 core marketing techniques and the psychological mechanism behind each one. Know the difference between statutory and voluntary labeling. Know the legal definitions of low fat versus reduced fat. Always reference the traffic light system and reference intakes and packaging questions. And for high tariff questions, always evaluate both the commercial benefit to the manufacturer and the health impact on the consumer. And finish with the clear concluding judgment. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, examiners reward precision, analysis, and judgment. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode of Exam Ready.